When I was growing up, the thing that I read more than anybody, the most books I read by anyone, and to this day the most books I read by anyone, was a man named Stephen King. It's a huge influence on me as far as where a story can go. His writing style isn't exactly profound. He's not Nathaniel Hawthorne, but he's not Steinbeck either. I wouldn't put him in that kind of category, but he had such a versatility, such a breadth of dimension, and so many ideas. And that was, I guess, what turned me on the most about the guy, is he's just full of ideas. I was thinking the other day, when I was growing up, that adults would tell me when they saw that I had a Stephen King book, and they would say, oh, well, you know, that's just so scary. Why do you read that as a child? And, oh, that's such horrifying stuff. I think a lot of it was kind of the reputation that he has, more than the fact that they actually knew what they were talking about. Like when people say things about Woody Allen, even though they've never seen a movie of his, oh, he's, you know, I just don't like that guy, or he's too nervous, or whatever the hell they say. And, but I remember when I was growing up reading his books that I wasn't ever really horrified by anything. I was just interested in the story and the idea and the characters and what you're interested in typically with a book. But he did take it to very interesting venues. And I guess when I thought about it, about how when I was about 14 years old, or no, I wasn't even 14 then, I was probably about 11 or 12, trying to sit under the covers in my dark room with a tiny little flashlight, just trying to darken things out, trying to allow a story to captivate me in such a way that I thought something was going to, I don't know, jump on me or slaughter me, and still not being able to quite harbor that type of fear that was necessary for his reputation. And so I started to think about today, this morning, yesterday, last night, can't quite remember, about what it was out of all of the books that I read of his, which I read them in the tens, I want to say about like 31 of them, not including, you know, the collections of short stories and so on and so forth. The man was prodigious. And I was trying to think of the most horrifying thing that I had read in his work, and I had to settle on Cujo. If you've ever read the book Cujo, which I read nonstop for 2 days when I was about 13 years old, and great read. If you ever read his book on writing, he'll tell you that he doesn't remember writing the book because he was so strung out on cocaine and drinking so much and smoking so much, of course, that he doesn't remember it. And how much of a shame it is that he doesn't remember writing this book, because it's really good. And I agree with him. It's a really good book. But the most horrifying thing about it isn't the dog, which I think Cujo, of course, in American culture, he is the most influential person in American culture due to the amount of breadth when you think of a hotel, when you think of a clown, when you think of a car, and when you think of a dog, for that matter, you think of Stephen King, eventually. And that'll be one of the first things that people will spout out to you if you bring up those images. But what made it so horrifying was there's a young boy in it named Tad. And the mother has this son named Tad, and she's married, and she's having an affair, and there's all these different facets to the story. I mean, the story is ultimately about just this huge coincidence, and so many different events happen to fall on one day that screws this mother and her child locked in a car. You know, the people that own the house happen to be out of town, the dog just happened to get rabies, it happens to be record high heat. Her husband happens to be out of town because of some food dye issue with kids puking up food coloring, and just all of these different things come together to screw these two unfortunate people. But one aspect of the story, thinking back, that was probably the most horrifying thought of all, was earlier on in the story, the child Tad, and I want to believe his name is Tad, I haven't read this book in about 13, 15 years, is afraid of a monster either under the bed or in the closet. And in order for his parents to help him cope, or some sort of therapeutic notion, is to have him write a letter to the monster, saying, you know, there is no monster under my bed, or I don't believe in you, I'm not afraid of you. And almost, you know, within some time later, all of a sudden he's in a car, and the monster is real. And to ruin the end of the book, the child dies. In the movie he lives, but the child dies in the book. And so this child lived the rest of his life seeing this monster. I mean, it wasn't a dog. And of course, if the movie was ever remade, or if the movie had been made differently, or if I'd had my choice, you would have seen it through the child's eye. This child was not seeing a rabid dog. This child was seeing that monster that had finally come out in the daytime, in the heat, to come and get him and his mother. And his mother there being horrified of it right there next to him. So the monster was real to her, and he knew his mother was the more sensible one. So the monster was definitely real to him. And he lives the rest of his life in absolute horror of this thing that had come out after him. And what makes it, I guess, the most horrifying thing of all is that this was a reality. He wasn't seeing something that wasn't there. He was seeing something that was alive and rabid and natural and diseased. Something that we could see in our own daily lives, but that's the perception that he had. And that is the most horrifying thing, I think, Stephen King ever wrote.